Hej og velkommen til Salt Lederskapspodcast. Vi ønsker å hjelpe ledere I både kirke og samfunnsliv til å lede med enda større trygghet, sunnhet og effektivitet, og bidra til vekst og positiv samfunnsutvikling. Om du også ønsker å bidra ved å gi en gave etter å ha hørt denne podcasten, gå gjerne inn på salt.co og se hvordan. Tusen takk for at du hører på.
So today in the Salt Leadership Podcast, we have a great guest, Peter Pauwe from Holland. I met Peter a number of years back at a European Pastors event, and I met a man that just came out of the business world and had entered into the church ministry world. So today I've called this topic From Business to Church Ministry, and I'm just so curious to hear what Peter has brought with him from that one world to the other world and how all of this is connected. But first of all, Peter, welcome here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your story, Peter.
Tell me, okay. Today I'm about 50 years old. I have grown up in a very traditional church. And from my young years, I have been working in the IT business, software business. Was a global company, so I used to travel all over the world. I started out as a sales, grew into business development, grew to general management, managing the local national company. Then I did international business development. Then I did buy in, buy out of companies. And yeah, in the end, my story is ending in being a pastor in the Netherlands. So that's a big change.
That's a big change. Now, was there, you say you grew up in a Christian a home or a Christian church, and then what happened with your faith life in this? It sounds like a very busy career that you were having.
Yeah. Now, so in fact, what happened is this: I grew up in a religious church. I would say hyper-Calvinistic. So I went to church, but I wasn't a believer. And the same was for my wife. So when we married, we still went to this church, but I got into business and my goals were changing rapidly. So I was all in for the business. I was all in for the big cars and for the big money. And within 3 years, our relationship was on the edge of a divorce. And so God intervened in that one. And so in fact, what happened, I had to fight with my wife. I was like challenging her, oh, you pray a little bit, you know. And she did. I remember on the Thursday night.
Yeah.
And that Sunday I came in my traditional church and I just felt that my ladder was against the wrong wall.
Right.
I was running for the wrong goals, and that's where I found God. That's
did you have a conversion God. Experience?
At that moment, absolutely. So it was a very radical experience, although in that church where I came from, there was not a very clear gospel preached. So yeah, I was aware of God, but I wasn't sure of my salvation. That took another 5 years. And when that happened, a few weeks later, my wife was saved as well. And that made a big change in our lives.
Did you enter another type of community, or was it people in your life that were involved?
I think what happened is that accidentally I visited Bible studies from a evangelical church, and finally I found a church that was like, when I was reading my Bible, they were telling what I read in my Bible instead of different stories.
Right.
And it was so God's presence was so over there that I went home and said to my wife, who wasn't saved at that moment, you need to come with me next week. So she came along and got saved as well. And then in 3 weeks after that, we were in a new church with a complete new life. And that church had a church planting vision. And I knew already, I felt from the beginning, you know, I was like, there was a call on my life. I didn't know how. And so we were for a while in that church and the call was still there. And I felt God said, you know, you need to prepare yourself. And at that moment, I was like a managing director in the company, and in the last 3 years I was in business, I earned so much money. It was like the money was like showering on us, and I knew it was for a purpose. I knew it is not just to go on holidays and buy a nicer car. I knew there was a call. So my wife and myself, we used the money to pay off our house and to pay off everything, because we knew there would become a season where we would not have money. And when that day arrived, my salary, so I earned I say if I earned 100%, and normally you bring a 10% tithe as a as a believer, my salary went from the 100% to 10%.
Wow.
So I made a big sacrifice to go into the ministry.
But intuitively, you knew that something was coming, so you prepared yourself.
Yeah.
And then you planted a church. How many years back?
Coming April, we will be 12 years old. Mm. So the church is 11 and a half years now.
And so now you're a pastor and you used to be a businessman.
Yeah.
How is it different?
Actually, it is not different. And I think the biggest mistake I made was thinking it was different. Mm. And so I remember when I came from the business world, people said to me, Peter, the church world is different from the business world. You need to be more soft and more polite. And so many times, where I normally would have been very straightforward and very direct as a business guy and very focused, in the beginning I did not, because people told me this is church. Mm. And looking back now, I regret that, because I think the business world and the church world are very, very equal. There are the same principles. You need the same type of strategies. You need the same type of faith. You need to see the same opportunities, to take the same risks. So it's equal.
But do you sense that you have advantages because of the preparation that you received from being a businessman when you come into the church world, at least when it comes to the leadership aspect of it?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like I'm used to big scale thinking. I'm used to global thinking. Mm. It's like you think like business guys. So you find the best strategies around the world. You are not limited in a box. You know how to plan with budgets. You know how to generate money. You know how to motivate teams. You are used to delegate to multi-level leadership teams. So that are all big advantages you have over somebody that just has been studying the Bible and becomes a pastor and loves people. I love people too. You know, I think the big difference maybe between me and, but it can also be a personal thing, between me and maybe the standard pastor is like, some people, pastors love people because they want to take care of them. And with that, they limit themselves because they can only take care of 10 people, 20 people, maybe 100, and if they are very good, 200 people. Mm. But I love people, but my love of people leads to the fact that I create systems and structures and strategies that other people can take care for people that need care.
Right.
And I think that's a big difference between me as a business guy thinking in possibilities and using other people with the talents and the gifts, and so it helps to grow church big.
Now it sounds to me that you act and lead as a leader of leaders.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a sense, because you have that big scale thinking. Are there other things that you would say to pastors when it comes? You know, these are the learnings that I took with me from the business world and I have effectuated in the pastoral ministry.
I think you have to take calculated risks. You have to take calculated risks. Mm. So we just entered the building last Sunday, so less than a week ago.
Wow.
It's a project of 7 million.
7 million
euros.
7
million euros. And we started to build this project without having the money.
Huh.
So this was a combination of being a pastor and having faith that it would come together. And at the same time, business sense to do very good financial planning to make it happen. We still need to pay all the bills. So in the next few weeks, I have to raise another 500,000 euros to make it happen. But I sleep well because I know we are going to get the thing together. So I think as a business guy, you are used to take risks, step out, and believe for the best.
So stepping out in faith and taking calculated risk, trusting God in what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking big.
Yeah, thinking
lead
big.
Lead leaders.
Yeah. For me, it's quite simple. I always say rabbits make rabbits.
Mm.
Yeah, leaders make leaders.
Right.
So for me, you are not a leader when you have a group of followers. You are a leader when you are leading leaders.
Right.
And you are a leader when you are leading leaders that create new leaders.
Right.
That create new leaders.
Right. That is a very good way of thinking, but maybe not very common in Christian circles. And as far as I know, your church and parts of the Netherlands also have a Bible Belt area where people have a generational kind of Christian culture. How has the reaction been amongst people in your area and in regards to this way of thinking?
Yeah, of course, I have many complaints that I run the church as a business. It's a it's a business. It's a businessman. He thinks like business. It's not a church. And of course, that's one side. And on the other side, where we are with the type of church we are a cult as well. Some people think, of course, we run it as a business and we just cater the needs of the people. Of course, we cater the needs of the people, the spiritual needs of the people. But we're not a business in that way. But the thing is that we attract people as well because I'm a business guy. I'm used to do things well and excellent, you know. So when people come in our church, and especially bigger thinking people come in our church, they can see there's a business mind behind it, there's planning, there's strategy, there's excellence, and they are attracted to that, you know. And what I feel is like if people need to invest in church, it helps when the business people start to invest in the church and you can work together with business people. So for me, it's natural to have business people around me. I'm not afraid of business people because I have used to be one. I know how they think. I know what they expect. And so that's good.
Have you created forums in your church where you talk to business people?
Yeah, absolutely.
And train them?
Absolutely. So what we do is we have a group of business people that lead small groups. And the leaders of those small groups, we call them financial leaders. So if you are a businessman, I believe a businessman has a calling. So you have a gift and you have a talent to generate money. Somebody else has maybe the talent to teach for a class or to go to Africa to be to take care of people. But if you are a businessman, you have the talent to generate money. And I believe every talent we have, it's for the glory of God. So if you are a businessman, you generate money for the glory of God. That means you take your fair share, but the main focus is how can I build the kingdom of God? So I want my business leaders that lead my business group to be financial leaders that say my company is serving the kingdom. So they come together in small groups every month, and then four times a year, we bring them all together and we inspire them with wisdom for their company. We offer them networking facilities and we choose a nice location with good food, good music. You know, they can bring their spouse, they can bring their business friends, and those are great nights.
That's wonderful. What would you say to other pastors in European churches and about the way we treat the pastors? Is there any advice that you can, other pastors in the way we treat and welcome, attract business people and behave towards them? What would you say?
Yeah, I found out there are many pastors are a little bit scared of the business people. And business people don't always trust the pastor because the business people do not always see that the pastor is wise with money or is spending the money well. So why should he put his money in the hands of a pastor that doesn't know how to spend the money? So I think a pastor is wise to find wise business people around him. Maybe ask business people in his board and ask business people to help to create strategies that work. So if business people are involved in building strategies, when they are involved and they think the strategy is good, they are also willing to invest. So I would encourage every pastor to build a thriving business community because it will bless him, it will bless the church, it will bless the business guy, it will bless the kingdom of God.
That's wonderful. And what would you say to the business people in their relationship to the pastors?
I think the best thing a business guy can do is start to build a relationship with the pastor and see where he can help. What I see is many business people, one side because they don't trust the pastor, they want to do their own projects because they want to be in control and they want to decide where the money goes. And so they do different projects. But imagine if all the money would go to the church and it is the church that can reach out to the community, then the profile of the church and the community would rise much bigger than instead there would be all kinds of different projects.
So you're saying that the business people should be concerned about the profile of their local church in the community?
Absolutely, absolutely. If we believe that we want to reach the local community, we need to strengthen the church. So if people in the local community have a need of money for whatever project, the church should be the first thing they look to, knowing that the money is in the church. And the church can, of course, raise money in tithes and offering, but the real financial power from the church has to come from business. So I believe the pastor and the business need to go hand in hand in reaching the community for Christ.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I'm so glad to hear your perspective on this. You've been leading now Doorbreakers Church. Tell us a little bit about your church and the expansion that you've had in the Netherlands thus far.
Yeah, we started the church 11 and a half years ago. We started with 40 adults, 40 children that came with us. Today, on average on a Sunday morning, we have about 1,700 people gathering in four locations. We have one location exactly in the middle of the Netherlands. We have one in the north, we have one in the south, and we have another one in the middle. So the two locations are very young. They are 2.5 years old. One location is 5 years, and the main location is 11 and a half years. So I think we are a very modern church, very media-driven, a very excellent church. I believe this, that people today, if they are at home, they watch television, they're used to excellent shows, excellent music, and I think that as a church, we need to be ahead. So that's what we try to bring in our church as well.
What are the dreams that you have for the next 10 years?
What I would like to see is that we are going to plant tens and tens and tens of churches. So, there are two things that you need for that. One is very qualified leaders. And with preference, people that can lead people. So people with business background would be great to have in church. In fact, one of my campus leaders at this moment is a business guy. He's doing it as a volunteer. And he's organizing in such a way he can do it as a volunteer. So one is having great leaders. And the second thing, of course, is church planting is costing truckloads of money.
Right.
And so we need millions to win Holland for Christ.
And Holland has a big part of your attention and your heart. What is the condition of the church life in Holland right now?
Now, Holland has been a very traditional, I would say, religious country, very legalistic. So that's why I think Holland has been leading in to become a secular country, because people have more or less said, hey, we don't want to have to do with the church and the rules of the church. So the church has been going down for many years. I think still in Holland, they say that two churches close their doors every week. So it's going very fast, going downhill. But the good thing is this, that on the other side now, the new type, the new modern, the new type of faith churches like we are, they start growing.
Right.
And we don't outgrow at this moment the rate in which the church is going down, but it looks like there's coming a big groundswell. And so I expect great things in Europe in the next 10 to 20 years.
That's wonderful. Peter, you shifted from being a businessman into being a church entrepreneur, a leader of leaders, with a mindset that's big enough to not just reach through your church and your campuses, but also think about the whole country. You have a great message from the a pastor's heart to the business people, and you also have some great things to say to the business people towards the pastors. Is there any closing remark that you would like to share with the listeners of the SALT Leadership Podcast?
I have been in SALT this last day in the conference about church multiplication, and I think SALT is a great church, and I can see that this church is going to reach Norway for Christ. So if you are a business guy, I would say join hands with the pastors and take this nation for Christ.
Peter Power, thank you so much for being with us at the Leadership Podcast, and God bless you.
Thank you.